But first, what happened and why? We have a guest contributor to today's show, one Jack Johnson. We'll hear his contribution in two parts. In the first segment, he presents some insights into how some white male voters are able to see themselves as an oppressed minority, displaced from what they see as their rightful status in this increasingly multicultural, multi-ethnic society. I'll follow with a somewhat different take on how the left needs to relate to those who support Trump. And now, here's Jack Johnson.
This is Jack Johnson reporting for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I was asked to produce a segment before the election to sit down with two Trump supporters and to figure out what made them tick. I sat down with them for 3 hours, and I was prepared to put together a nice segment, taking clips from the discussion, illustrating certain points. But now the election's done, we all know the result, and I think there's a better course. I think it's better if I just tell you what I learned and then state in a few words where I think we are. Here's what I learned. The two men I spoke with felt that they were in a minority that was being oppressed by the majority. They inferred that being in the minority was in fact oppression, and that it justified dismantling the system. That's a big leap, and I wanted to know why they thought they could make it. They were hardly the first minority in American history to feel oppressed, but they were the first, to my knowledge, who inferred directly to the need to dismantle the entire system. I was also curious why they thought this man, Donald Trump, was just the one to deliver what they were after. Why did they think he would set things right? He was, as we all know, manifestly unfit for the job. Well, it turns out the answer is pretty simple. These white men regarded the system as their natural possession, not in a reflective way, not even, I would say, in an explicitly ideological way, but reflexively. If they found themselves in the minority on issues that they cared about, it could only be an injustice. And this could only indicate that the system was, in fact, already broken. To bring in a man like Trump couldn't do any more harm and might just do some good. Now, this position was, before the election and now after, so obviously infantile that I couldn't help asking if this wasn't, in fact, a tantrum. And they didn't deny it. So, long story short, I think white America had a tantrum and elected an infant president.
And that was Jack Johnson with an interesting take on the thought processes of some Trump supporters. These two white men feel that they have become members of an oppressed minority and that their oppression justifies electing an authoritarian bully with no respect for civility or the rule of law. And they are able to believe this because they feel, rather than think, that it is this very system of civility and law, which they might call political correctness, that has exiled them from their rightful place in the hierarchies of race and gender. So let the system be trashed by Trump and his thuggish supporters. Unlike many on the left, Johnson was willing to sit down and talk at length, trying to understand Trump voters. He paid attention to the way they think. But it's also important to understand why they think this way, in particular, why they feel oppressed. It has to be more than their racism, the white privilege they feel has been stolen from them. One reason Trump won was that a great many white men and women in the Rust Belt, who had voted for Obama both times, switched this time to Trump. What they wanted each time was change, a reason to believe that their lives might be better. The Democratic Party, the only other realistic choice, had rejected the much more popular Bernie Sanders in favor of a representative and a symbol of the existing order of things going back to the 1990s. Hillary Clinton promised to incrementally pursue the Wall Street-friendly policies of her husband and those of Obama, who, for all his style and grace and gravitas, has presided over an economic recovery in which nearly all of the added wealth went to the already wealthy. Middle-class folks are hurting. Their economies are weak. Their children can't get good jobs, and their neighbors are burying their sorrows in opiates. It's not their white privilege, but the American dream of economic independence and advancement that has been stolen from them. The gap between the affluent and the barely scraping by is heightened by a cultural class resentment. The anger that many working-class whites feel about professional people who tell them how they ought to live and what they ought to believe. They can sense the contempt for working-class values of hard work, independence, and the Christian life that are implicit in the language and atmosphere of NPR and the New York Times and public television. Sometimes the scorn of the educated and professional elite is quite obvious, as when a New Yorker shouted at some Trump supporters in front of the Trump Tower in Manhattan, "Go back to your trailer." It's hard to make the perspective of these folks, rooted as it is in a complex social and historical context, come alive in a few words. Arlie Russell Hochschild's book, Strangers in Their Own Land, does a good job, and we will link to it and some other useful sources on the webpage for this show. But what needs to be learned by the left for organizing is, at a minimum, to contain the impulse to shower abuse and contempt on people who have supported Trump.
You shout out that the emperor's not wearing any clothes. He lies so much that you could hang your laundry from his nose. The fox is in the hen house and the wolf is at the door. But we've been through some crappy times before. We've been through some crappy times before. Indiscretions, floods, depressions, Vietnam and more. The sun has set, but don't forget, another day's in store. 'Cause we've been through some crappy times before.